Hey girl, hey, welcome to the Brown
Mama
Blueprint Podcast, where I share stories, information, and advice to help you live your best Brown Mama life. Hey sis, what is up? It's your girl, Muffy Mendoza, and welcome to another episode of the Brown Mama Blueprint Podcast. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Jasmine Jefferson, who is the founder of the website and movement Black Girls with Gardens. I was super hyped when she agreed to interview with us because I've been admiring this sister from afar for quite some time, for many years now. But first, I wanted to chat a little bit about my own experience with gardening, with the green movement, and all of the beautifulness that is blooming right now in my backyard, because I am an avid gardener as well, and I just love gardening, and I really believe in the power of agriculture and gardening as a way to remove oppression, not only from our lives, our physical lives, but from our minds. Ironically, it was my dad who introduced me to gardening and the power of petunias and sage and flowers and growing watermelons. And it was really interesting because at the time that my dad introduced me to gardening, we hadn't spoke pretty much my whole life. I didn't know my dad until I was 28 years old. He wasn't there during my childhood, but it was my dad who taught me that putting your hands in the dirt was a form of self-care, for real, for real. And that every human being should really experience what it's like to cultivate the earth, to put something in the ground and watch it grow at least once in their lifetime. Everybody, every mama, every papa, everybody should have that experience. And I remember how it felt when I first planted my first flowers and then they bloomed. Like, seriously, I put this little seedling in the ground, had no idea what it was going to do. And I just remember one day I walked out of my back door into my backyard and it was like all this pink everywhere. And I was just like, super excited. And from then on, I was like hooked on gardening. Like I couldn't stop growing everything. I tried to grow everything. And so growing food and flowers is really powerful. It's powerful not only because it's something that you can do that you can watch the progression of over years, but it's also powerful because the earth is really doing most of the work, right? But tilling the land has such a historic meaning for Black folks all over the world, but in particular for Black folks who are the descendants of the enslaved Africans, because, right, this was something that we were forced to do. This was something that was a part of our oppression, agriculture, tilling the fields, growing cotton and sugarcane. That was all a part of our oppression, right? So us doing it of our own free will and experiencing what it's like to reclaim that part of us as women, as Black women, as human beings is so powerful. And it has such a dynamic effect on the soul, I think. One of the things that I know vividly about gardening is that it allows me to almost be at one with the Creator. I feel like when I'm in my garden, it is an opportunity for God to play with me, right? To get my hands in the dirt and to really, really own in on what I'm doing in that moment and allow the divine downloads and physical uploads from the earth to all kind of like ruminate in my soul. And so I just want other Black women to have that experience. I want other Black women to have that experience of uploading a version of consciousness that is only available in your green God space. That's what I call my garden now. I call it my God space. There is an entire chapter in the Brown Mama Mindset book, workbook, and journal that's all dedicated to God space, finding your God space. And for me, that's in my garden, right? So I just think that every Black woman should get that opportunity to reconnect with the African diaspora, because we know that, you know, traditionally in African cultures, Black women were known for root working. We were known for burning sage and creating tinctures and all of these ways that we expressed our spiritual convictions and our creativity and mastery, really, of agriculture. So this is a tradition that Black women have inherited from our very being, and we should work really hard to continue our rich legacy, knowing that African traditions have value, and especially, specifically, there is value in maintaining our cultural distinction and being able to give, to offer that to the world as our thing, our way of being. So I digress. Thanks for listening. But without further ado, I want to introduce to you Jasmine Jefferson, who is the founder of BlackGirlsWithGardens.com. So that's going to be the next voice that you hear here on the Brown Mama Blueprint podcast. Thank y'all for joining in. Thank you. And welcome to the Brown Mamas Facebook page. Today we have Jasmine Jefferson, who is the founder, creator, gardener, horticulturalist, agriculturalist behind BlackGirlsWithGardens.com. So we are excited to have her. So thank you for taking the minute to just talk to us about gardening. I've been very transparent on social media lately, talking about, I'm just loving seeing so many Black women getting into their gardens as a result of COVID-19. Have you been seeing that too, Jasmine?
Oh, the influx is beautiful. I'm so excited because if we can just get them in, we can hook them.
Absolutely. And that's what I always like to say, because, you know, you always have those one friends who are like, I don't have a green thumb. I'm like, the planet don't need you, boo. It don't need you. All I need you to do is put it in the dirt. It's going to do the work on its own, right? So first, I wanted to just talk a little bit about the Black gardening movement, especially as positioning Jasmine and centering Jasmine as a Black woman who's been a huge part of that space. So can you tell us a little bit about your legacy of gardening? Because I listened to you on a podcast last week, and how it's influenced you to be a founder of this movement.
Well, I initially started Black Girls for Garden just because my family has always been gardeners in some shape or form, and I really wasn't into it until, like, my last grandmother, she passed away, and I had to take care of her plants. So it hooked me then. So I was just really, really deep in it, and outside of my family, I didn't know anybody else I could speak to about it. So it's okay, you know, we got social media. Let me just talk to other women about it, other Black women about it. And like after the first week of starting Black Girls with Gardens, I realized that this is something that's like needed. It is super, super, it was really, really needed. So that's when I just kind of redirected myself to actually make sure that I provide representation, inspiration, support, and education in gardening for women of color. Because I think we always been there. It's just that we couldn't connect. We didn't connect outside of our family and what we already knew. So that's why I got started in garden. Well, that's why I started Black Girls with Garden. And from there, it's just flourished. And I'm just absolutely, absolutely loving what it's becoming, what it will become. All the connections I'm making, it's just beautiful. So I think that's like what it's keeping me going in reference to my legacy. I just really, really want to get people in it and get them to grow at least one plant or grow something, because once they get started, you know, like I keep saying, they're just going to keep going.
Absolutely. And I think that planting is something that once you do it, you don't stay in it. I always like to say, I'm not in it for my plants. I'm in it because of the way the plants make me feel. Like when you walk outside and you see, you know, because you started off, you get it from your local nursery and it's like this little scraggly looking green thing. And then next thing you know, you walk outside and you got a whole tree with colors on it. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that I did that. And so, yeah, I agree.
I had to go through to get it. You know, we had fought these bugs and we did. Right?
I had to come out here on the hottest day of the summer and water this plant. And now look what I got. And Jasmine actually shared with me right before she came on that she's a therapist. So I was like, We need to talk about the therapeutic value of planting. So I wanted to ask you about that. What do you think is the therapeutic value of planting?
It is so effective. I work in community health. So obviously I work with low income individuals, which in turn end up being my community. And just, I like to implement plant therapy just to give them something to care about, because a lot of times, and I work with severely mentally ill. So what you think of in a white padded room and things like that, so that's who I absolutely work with. And just seeing that a lot of times there isn't hope for those type of patients. You're just trying to keep them maintained and things of that sort. Just seeing how they improve with functioning and caring for a plant, it just speaks wonders to how, you know, someone who is considered mentally sane and just need a little boost, like what plants can do for them. And I think a lot of times when we speak in reference to the trend in a lot of people getting into plants, they're not, you're aware, like you stated, how it makes you feel. A lot of people don't understand, don't really, aren't aware of that. They just actually start getting interested in plants and they're feeling good, but they're not 100% in tune knowing that, hey, it's the plant that's making me feel good. That's why I keep getting more. This is why I'm doing all of this. And that's really what it is. I know I did some research and I saw that, every time you come in tune with nature, it sparks creativity, it increases your mood, and it helps suppress depression. And a lot of us are dealing, especially with what's going on in the world, a lot of us already have to deal with that with our workplace. Like, just, it's just different life things. We share those type of issues, and plants bring all types of work to people together because it helps get rid of those type of issues. So I look, because when it comes to gardening, you can look at it from different perspectives. It's multidimensional. So you can look at it like from a finance perspective. You can look at it from a socioeconomic. It's just, and then you can look at it from like the therapeutic, which I like to do a lot of times. And it just, it's so beneficial to the point where there's no reason why you shouldn't do it, you know? It just, everybody feels good when it comes to gardening. Even when you run into woes, it teaches you how to deal with life woes. So it's just, I honestly, I'm going to keep saying this, I honestly recommend anybody get a plant.
Absolutely. And I think that's why, I think we kind of inherent, like we know that when we go take a walk in the park or when we go to the beach, we know that that's like, that recharges us. And I think that's why we're seeing like when COVID-19 happened, the only stores that were open was like Lowe's, Walmart, Target. So it was like, that was a natural transition. I think we do kind of like naturally gravitate. We know that nature will make us feel better, but I feel like there's been all of these, I feel like Black womanhood period has been kidnapped from Black women. And there are certain segments of it that we've been told we're not allowed to participate in. And so people like myself and Jasmine are all about helping Black women to realize that there is no part of womanhood that you are not allowed to participate in. So whether that's getting a garden, whether that's becoming a chef, whatever it is for you, you need to know that you are not excluded from any version or part or way of being a woman as a Black person. And gardening is one of those places and spaces where we need to put our stamp, because just following Jasmine's Instagram account and seeing all of the Black women on there holding plants, I mean, number one, it looked good on us, y'all. It just looks good on us, right? I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, we just look so dope. Yeah. With some gardening gloves on and holding a big ass indoor house plant. I mean, it looks beautiful on us. So we should be able to do it. And I know as a therapist, of course, Jasmine, you are definitely in tune in what's going on right now in the world. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit. I know you'd mentioned that your grandmother and your mother are both avid gardeners. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the legacy of gardening and how that affected you as a child growing up.
I think when it comes to being what I was conscious of, I was kind of shying away from it because my mother and my grandmother, they were the type of people where they will pull over if they saw something in a ditch and we're digging it up. And they were kind of into like ornamental flowers and things like that. My grandmother and my grandfather did grow food, but they were more so into oriental flowers. And on my father's side, my grandmother and my great grandmother, they were into flowers as well. And it was just overload for me. I just didn't, it didn't click. It didn't click to
Gotcha.
me. It was so important. Like, why was it so just, why were they so crazy about it? And it never, never, ever is never, I'm gonna always remember my grandmother told me, I don't know if she said a friend or someone told her that when you're mad, go plant a flower. When you do this, you go plant a flower. Like every time, if you're sad, go plant a flower. And she's like, that's how I ended up with this garden. And it just sticks with me. And it kind of just reminds me that they knew that plants made you feel good. You know, gardening made you feel good. And I just shied away from that initially until, you know, that traumatic experience happened to me. And I just dived into it. And it really, really sits in my soul. Like everyone needs to at least know that if you need help, try gardening. You know, I don't think everything is not for everyone, but if you need help, at least get a plant or something like that. So that's why when it comes to like how it affected me, I think initially as a child, I didn't embrace it. But as I got older, all of the things that we did and stuff like that, I cherished it so much. What my grandmother said, that's, I don't know if there's anything else that sticks closer to me than what she said. Versus just those small things I noticed. Like, although I do research to learn how to grow certain things and stuff like that, it's small things that I remember they did that I still implement. And that has like a super, super huge impact on how I garden, how I garden, how I, you know, teach others to garden, as well as how I run Black Rose with Garden.
Absolutely. And I think that what's going on in the world right now is kind of forcing, I feel like we're being forced into Sankofa, which is reaching back and figuring out what our ancestors were doing that helped them to overcome trauma, that helped them to overcome all the tragedy was happening in their life. And we're really starting to bring that forward. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about agriculture. Growing your own food as a means of removing white supremacy from our lives. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, and how does it feel as a founder of this movement? How does it feel to not only see Black women planting flowers and stuff, but to see us? I know there's an organ, not an organization. There is a group of sisters right now in Pittsburgh called the Soil Sisters, and they are planting food and selling it to Black women. I've supported them. Tons of people have supported them because we want to begin to create silos for our community. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and just agriculture as a form of anti-racism, really.
Right. There's no agriculture without Black people. I love saying, you know, the original Green Thumb was Black. Is that that's just the truth.
True.
So I think, and I was just speaking with someone yesterday, I believe, in reference to this, is that we could actually, although in re efforts to be more self-sufficient and just healthier. If we start growing our own food, and we don't necessarily have to grow everything. Like I don't have to eat 100% from my garden. But if I can show my neighbor how to master okra, and my cousin master potatoes, and I grow the peppers, and we all
Yes.
just bartering, and we'll remove that middle person, through those which is white supremacy. We'll move that. White supremacy is, I want to say, it's centered around capitalism. And if we can remove that, we take back control. Because when you look at it, and this is in any field, the black dollar is super, super important. It's super effective. It's super influential. Like, and I don't think we understand fully our power in reference to that. So if we're able to take that away and put that dollar back into our community, we're in reference to growing our own food, and we're clearing up food deserts that already exist in our community, and food injustice that exists in our community, we'll be end up becoming healthier human beings. We'll end up becoming more financially dependent, well, independent. And I just think we'll get back to like to building our own Wall Street, our own communities back up, where to the point where it goes back to where white people have to come back to us. to learn this and to do this and things of that sort. So I just think if we start with one person learning how to garden, we're able to rebuild our community in that way.
Absolutely. And I love, like you said, I think that one of the things that Black people in America are waking up to, and that I'm hoping is going to happen, is this realization that individualism cannot exist for Black folks. Like, it is anti-Black. Individualism in and of itself is a white principle. It is not something that we can build upon. So we really need to get back to this idea of co-opting life. So that's everything from what you eat to how you parent to what neighborhood you live in. We have to begin to co-opt those experiences. And I love what you said about if you decide to grow some potatoes and I decide to grow, because that takes us back to the original African way of exchanging commissions or exchanging dollars. That is bartering. That is the system that we created so that we could be able to share with one another, and really recognizing how far capitalism and individualism takes us from our original roots, which is why it's difficult for us to build in those spaces. And so in talking about that, I want to talk a little bit about creating movements. So I wanted to talk about some of your inspirations for movement, but also can you talk to us about, if you are a Black woman right now, you have an idea, you have something that you want to create a movement around. What are the bare bones of that? I know you can't give us a paid play-by-play because that would be way too difficult. But what are the bare bones of that? Like, what were some of the things that you did, advice that you would give to other Black women if they want to start a movement around an idea?
The first thing I would say is identify what exactly you want to do. What do you want to accomplish? And be true to yourself. Always remain true to yourself and actually do it. That's exactly what, because with Black Girls with Garden, I felt like I honestly didn't know where to look to mirror what I want to do or how I want to go about doing it or which direction. I knew I wanted to build up our community, and there was four things I wanted to accomplish in reference to doing so. So I stayed true to that. And I also, regardless of anything, I've been offered money to things that wouldn't align with us, wouldn't align with Black women. I never, ever, ever wanted to present to the community. So I just denied it because I knew that the community is the reason why Black Girls with Garden exists. I just stay true to my audience, to the community. I know exactly what I want to accomplish, and I make sure that I'm in it. As long as it's true to me, I try to make sure I fulfill that. So, for any Black woman who's looking to actually do anything, if you want to start a movement, start small, define what you want to do, and just stay true to that.
Absolutely.
Because the support I get from Black women and Black men is ridiculous. It's true, it's genuine. And I think the only reason that exists is because I'm staying true to them and I'm staying true to myself. So if you do that, you're going to get the support, you're going to get what you need, as long as you just stay true to yourself.
And I think as community leaders, I love when I hear Black women say that. Like, another Black woman actually gave me advice earlier this year. She said, don't ever take money that you don't know what you're going to do with, one, and two, that you'd have to betray yourself to keep. My cell phone's ringing now. Sorry. I'm sorry. We'll have to wait for it to end because. See, I got the India RE song as my.
I mean, nobody. And you
Exactly, y'all. I still got a ringtone in 2020, but that's okay. Okay, because I'm old, so I'm allowed that. But I love that you said that. I think that affirms me as a Black woman leader of a community. Just staying true to yourself and really knowing from the beginning, like, what are your non-negotiables? Like, these are the things I'm not willing to do, no matter how much money it is, no matter how much reaches this is going to get me. There's just certain things that I'm not willing to do. And I think, if all of us continue to take that type of approach in terms of the ideas and businesses that we want to cultivate and that we want other people to support, then that will help us to go a lot further. And then Also, Jasmine, in terms of the reach that you've gotten, the first, so I had a couple of little quick questions I wanted to ask you. And the first was, what is the weirdest plant that you've ever seen somebody grow or grown yourself?
The weirdest plant, let me
the think. Weirdest or like strange or like something that nobody's ever, you're like, what is that?
Weird. I can't. Y'all gonna laugh at me because the weirdest plant I have, and I don't think anybody, I mean, I don't know if it's weird considered to certain people, but I have the rabbit foot fern. Have you ever? Oh, you gotta look it up. It's gonna look weird. So basically, it's in my bathroom. I would show you, but it's in there. The roots grow out of the pot at the top, and it looks like rabbit feet, and they're furry. And it's just like a cute little fern, but I love it. I absolutely, it's my favorite fern. I absolutely love it. It's so creepy if you're not familiar with it. I haven't seen, outside of that, I haven't seen anything super crazy. Now, I've seen plants that look like body parts in animals. And, but I do have a monstera that I've reused soil for. And everybody in the Facebook group is laughing at me because since I reuse good soil, it has other roots in it. So it keeps popping up different plant species. So right now it has an Alocasia poly in it, but before it had a Maranta plant. So they just keep making jokes about, oh, you know, your monstera keep having babies by other plants. Yes, so that's some of the weirdest stuff. But if you, and I had a kangaroo paw fern. So if you look at those weird ferns that have the roots coming out of the pot, it'll probably creep you out.
Cool. And then I wanted to ask you, what tips would you give to first-time gardeners? So if there's a mom or a dad or an auntie or an uncle who's gardening for the first time right now, what tips would you give them?
Start small. You have to start small or you're going to get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed sometimes if I start too many seeds at one time or if I'm trying to care for too, like, it's overwhelming. I've been doing it for years. So I recommend don't go out there and try to start a farm or a homestead immediately. You want to start off with something small, such as herbs or just a few containers. And don't start from seed. I recommend if you're starting off for the first time, buy plant starter plants. You can find them at your big box nurseries, local nurseries, but start there. And then just learn those plant species from there. And learn how, you know, how to grow cucumbers, what the woes that come with cucumbers. The next year, you can do cucumbers and peppers. Or something like that, but don't overwhelm yourself because it is overwhelming. Master gardeners still get overwhelmed. I don't care what it looks like on Instagram, Facebook. I try to share all of my fails as well so you can understand that, you know, I've killed tomato plants to this day, yesterday actually. So it happens, but definitely start small and work your way up.
Yeah. There really is no such thing as a green thumb. Like, even people who are really good at it kill plants all the time because
I'm looking at a plant right now and I was like, I did not know you were dying.
You need water. I'm sorry, I'll get to you when I can. And then lastly, before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit more about where we can find you, and also, you know, what are you doing next? Like, what is the next big thing for Jasmine Jefferson and Black Girls with Gardens?
Well, I'm all over the internet at Black Girls with Gardens. So most major social media platforms, you can find me at Black Girls with Gardens. On Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, we have a Facebook page and we have Facebook groups. I've split them up in two for houseplants. We Love Houseplants by Black Girls with Gardens as well as Edible Gardening by Black Girls with Gardens.
Well, I love it.
So you can definitely go to both of those Facebook groups. Those are communities where you're able to ask, bounce your questions off of people. It's absolutely amazing. Black Girls, our Instagram page is definitely there for education, inspiration, and representation. So you'll definitely, if you're looking for new people in gardening to follow, you want to definitely go to Instagram. I also like teach on in my Instagram stories and videos and stuff like that, but if you're looking for new people, you could definitely go there. Pinterest have tons of our articles and things of that sort there as well. But I think that, and also YouTube, we're starting a new YouTube channel. So definitely if you want to go on there, just look for Black Girls with Gardening, you'll find us. But the next big thing for Black Rosewood Garden is I want to definitely start courses and workshops. I think it's super important that I expound on the educational part now, since it is awareness is out there. There's, our community is known, we're letting other people know that we exist. That if you subscribe, if you go to the website and subscribe to our email list, you'll be able to be the first people to know when the workshops drop, when any type of e-course we have available. Overall, for Black Rosewood Garden, I eventually, once we get through all of this stuff, I had so much in real life stuff planned, but once we get over all of this, definitely I want to start meetups, conferences, all these different things I want to initiate. I want to go ahead and start with community gardens. It's just so much I feel like Black Rosewood Gardens can't actually do. It's just we have to get past this now. But that is exactly where we're going with this.
I love it, Jasmine. And however we can support you in the Brown Mamas community, we absolutely will, because we are all about womanhood being access granted to Black women, and Black mothers in particular. So we appreciate you. We appreciate the work that you're doing. And we'll be praying for you that all of those great things come to fruition, because we want to see you do well. Because when you do well, we do well as well. So thank you so much for joining us. So
I
y'all
really.
know where to find sis. I will be making sure that I'll get your groups from you, and then I'll post them in the comments so that people can know where to join them, because I know people are always asking me questions about gardening them, and I would love to be able to point them in your direction. So thank you, sis. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I hope you well.
Will be. Everybody's gonna be well. This too shall pass. So have a
Exactly.
great afternoon. Thank y'all so much for tuning in here on the Brown Mamas Facebook page, and we will talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Peace. So I hope that spoke to your soul, sis. I hope that you learned something about yourself, about your own capabilities in terms of gardening and doing the work of the earth. And I just appreciate you. I thank you for listening. I thank you for giving us this time and space in your life, because I know it's valuable. If you want to learn more about Jasmine and the work she does, please make sure you visit blackgirlswithgardens.com. You can also find her on Instagram, Black Girls with Gardens, as well as on Facebook at Black Girls with Gardens. And she also has a Facebook group for Black Girls with Gardens. And as always, if you want to learn more about me, visit brownmamas.com. You can listen to this podcast anywhere where podcasts are found via anchor.fm. You can find us on Spotify, on Apple, on Google. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm your girl, Muffy Mendoza, and this has been the Brown Mama Blueprint podcast.